Anyhow, that will call for a, if that horse belongs, that would require two adjustments of this race. The difference in velocity is not two, it is about 6.63, between 63 and 67, because these are velocity numbers, which is one third of the energy number. Hit the next.
Doc?
Yeah, see?
Why does that require a two adjustment?
Because the difference, well, this little thing comes up on the screen.
I'll go back to that screen.
Go back to that screen. You want to know why? What in your current understanding would constitute a two adjustment?
I thought it was two or more.
Yeah, and that's why I just made this long speech of why, when you're using one third of the number, it would be one third of two, wouldn't it? These are velocity figures. You're using an energy program, right? Ignore that. Don't let it confuse you. This is for the gentlemen and the young people and the newcomers who are using synergetic matchup as the poor man's thermation to get them ready for an energy type program. So you're still with two. But this will come up. Hit it, Spencer. Unless this comes up, folks, don't be worrying about what kind of an adjustment to make. That came up. That tells you, and I'll read it to you, the difference in the total energy indicates you may need to use the manual adjustment, which is the two adjustment. Now, what comes up next? Caution, make sure the horse is a true contender before using the manual adjustment. If after 3 days of this seminar, listening to Brohammer and to Bradshaw and to the and Marion Jones and Jorgensen and Wada, you don't hear him unless you go to dinner with him, and Vic Palermo and all of us, if you still can't tell what is a true contender, then what you do is you close your eyes and punch your computer, and whatever comes up will do you just as much good as whatever else you do, because that's the whole purpose of the seminar, is for you to know whether a horse is a true contender or not. And when in doubt, use this. It works pretty well too. You should have no trouble telling whether a horse is a true contender. If you put in true contenders and it comes up, this is where the long shots come from. But we're going to show you another trick that Jimmy presented at the first time of the seminar, and it works like dynamite. Next screen. This is Raw. We found out years and years ago that the United States and Canada were adjustment happy. Most mainstream people will not allow a horse to run a race as he ran it. They got to just Mickey Mouse the lines with adjustments. And they have par adjustments, they have dream race adjustments, we have all sorts of buyer number adjustments, of Brisk adjustments, Abner Crabtree's adjustments, Joe Blow's adjustments. Everybody thinks that they can either do something to a horse manually by screwing around with what it really did. So before you play around with what you want it to do or what your adjustments say it should do, look at it raw. Raw says that BBB starts about in the middle over there on the left-hand side. See where one is? Then he makes a dip in the second portion of the race. He goes downhill, he coasts downward, and then he suddenly makes a big third fraction move. And he heads up at the top. He ends up way up on the top. Follow the bouncing number. Just like when you got the cereal jars and you match the numbers and drew little things on them, this is that kind of a graph. Any questions about this one before we move to the next one? Okay, you're getting good here. Hit the next one. Now we're going to make the adjustment. Here's what I suggest you all do, is hit three. This horse gets a 1.02 adjustment if you use the automatic. Next one. This one gets a 0.93. That's very close. So both, neither one of those are being severely advantaged or disadvantaged. Next one. This one is right in the same ballpark. No problem there. There's no disparity. That one has no disparity. That's not enough difference for you to worry about. Now, how come EEE gets a 1.36? Here's where you say, mark a little mark on your pad or whatever you do, and say, I want to look at what pace line I use for that horse. And I look at your form, and if it says to you, hey, he deserves it, he came from a longer distance, he's going short today, or whatever it is, and if he deserves that. And you say, well, how will I know if he deserves it? Do a lot of races, lose a few, and believe me, if that doesn't teach you, nothing will. You've got to learn this on your own. I sit for hours. Jimmy Bradshaw sat for 2 years, he sat hour after hour punching horses through the computer, and he had to learn what these meant. That is suspicious, but not overly suspicious. It probably belongs in the race. That's not too much to worry about. Let's look at another one here. Now, there's the fastest horse we've seen so far. When you look at a minus number, you say, hey, that's a world beater. That horse is good. We don't want to be penalizing a horse with a minus. That's not a big enough minus to worry about, but we know, thus far, that's the fastest horse we've seen. Next button. That's all of them, huh? The only horse we have to worry about in there, the horse that's causing the need for the two adjustment, is either probably the 136 and the minus 11. The minus 11, we don't want to hurt him. We want to check to see if the 136 is a bad pace line, because otherwise we're going to may get that horse on top. Did you remember his name? Was it? Okay, let's see where he comes up using the one adjustment. Now here's where we're going to show you something. Do the instant preplay. We'll go back to the others later. Hit six. Okay. It says that this race is going to run sustained. The first screen that comes up on your instant preplay is the screen that theoretically the race will run if the contenders you've entered belong there. And since they all had a sustained energy exertion style, it makes reasonable certainty that the best early of these sustained horses should win. Now, what's wrong with BBB? Give him a microphone, Jimmy. Let's get some feedback here. What is wrong with BBB, if there's anything wrong with it?
It's a one little horrible turn.
We saw that on that raw graph, didn't we? He was high to begin with, relatively, was in the middle. Then he went way down low in the center part of the race, or on the turn, and then he made a big third fraction move. So that's a suspicious move right here. But remember, we're using the one adjust to start with. Now, would you like to see, without having to go through the program again, what the two adjust would tell you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, you like it? We'll get it. Hit the enter key. Okay, who comes up first now? The one on the bottom. Yeah. That is the opposite screen. That is the way that horse will come up number one when you two adjust. But the tremendous third fraction move of BBB still makes it your second best horse. Now, where is EEE? That's the one that we warned you about. That's the one that comes up first. That's the one we warned you about that might be causing the two adjustment. Definitely it is. That's the one that you better look at very carefully. So let's scratch EEE. Now let's see what it asks for. We still are called for the two adjustments. So who's causing it now? The fastest horse in the race. I would not use the two adjustment under that circumstance. Now don't say Howard says never use the two adjustment if the fastest horse in the race is causing it. Just check it out for yourself. Jimmy, you want to chime in here on anything? You guess we still have BBB, but that tremendous late move. Now let's go to the one adjustment.
Question. One time I was told to, whatever the first screen was on Thorough Nation, then one should determine the matching screen, and that would be the deciding factor. Now, since then, I've learned that I go with my first screen, and I just look at the other two screens. Would you please clarify that?
Well, in Thorough Nation, they don't always match, you know. But the one that most closely matches Thorough Nation is the first screen. It is what we'd call the matching screen. And the other would be the opposite screen. But this one, since it doesn't have Thorough Nation in it, the first screen that comes up would be the screen that variegates the race or would match Thorough Nation based on the horses you put in. So the first screen we see here will be, hit six, once again sustained. Now that's not unusual in this race, because this is a route. Remember, this has a converted mile and a quarter horse in it. It still likes BBB. Now its second choice is FFF. Now hit the opposite screen. The opposite screen says FFF is your best horse, and judging by FFF's three panels, I would definitely never leave FFF out. FFF, now go back and do it with a two adjustment. Would you not agree that FFF is three panels are superior to the three panels of the other horse?
Yes.
Okay. Now use a two adjustment. Six. And now the opposite screen becomes sustained. The first screen now, when you use the two adjustment, is the EXDC, and the opposite screen becomes. Now, what do you notice about that, those two readouts?
Really?
The same two horses come up on automatic and on the two adjust. This is an 80% play if you've entered reasonably close to the correct horses in the race. This is, you give you an 80% chance of winning when your screens produce the same two horses, regardless of adjustment and regardless of screen. Now let's go to some of the more esoteric adjustments. I got to make a commentary here based on things I've heard people say. You got so many readouts, I can't use all those readouts. I can't figure out what they all mean. My answer is, folks, only use the ones that you do understand. Hit the bar graph. One. You saved it to disc, put it back. Huh? I told you to save it to disc. Well, you've got it saved on the disc, haven't you? Okay, good night, folks. Another fine mess.
Maybe it's time for a break.
Huh?
Maybe we should break.
Break already? We just started. What do you want to break? Oh, we break Spencer. Like Spencer's neck, huh?
No.
That's right. Uncle Rod loves you. Uncle Rod did a children's show on public television for years, and he used to give him milk and cookies. Give Spencer some milk and cookies. But what did you save it as?
We didn't.
Well, we'll put three horses in just to show you how the readouts look. You only wanted to know how to use the readouts. You didn't want to know who won the race. I'll tell you who won the race. It was the FFF horse. They 2860. But B came in second. They 480 to place. The exact, it was $241. Huh? Ah, it wasn't a trifecta race. I'm sorry. Well, but it keyed the daily double, which played $1,281. And Tony Hill had the winner of the first race. Okay, that should not let anything bother you. You see, if you have on here the class and APVs, if you want to use them, and you can load your programs, and they cross-load. They cross-load from any advanced program, so you only have to enter them once if you're using entropy. Okay? Let's go real fast. Put in some horses. We know how to put in a mile and a quarter, so we'll just do it. Let's make this a 6-furlong, right, shall we? Just for fun?
Yeah.
Okay, six. AA, six. 22. 6-furlong. 22. 45.
Six.
F2. F2. He does that on purpose, folks. When I say six, he puts in 22. Just so he can show you how you. We rehearsed this. 22. 45. 58. 4. 110. 0-0-0. BBB, 6.5. This is what you're going to find a lot of, especially in Southern California. 21.4, 44.4, 109, 115.4, 2110. Let's put in 7 for long noise. Okay, 22 and 1. 45 and 2. 110 and 3. 124. Let me go wire to wire with the Hank. I know who won this race. Y'all know who won this race? It's a 3-horse match race. Okay, now we're going to say yes to the automatic projector. Now, it will not automatically project because we don't have any inordinately high distance. Here is where if you wanted to see it as you originally entered it, you would say yes, so that otherwise it's always going to be projected to the day's distance.
We can save it this time.
No, we'll save it at the end. After this is over, we're going to show them how to do entropy. Okay. There are your pace lines. Now, we said yes to... Go again so they can see how they projected. Your 7 furlong horse was projected to 111 and 1. Your 6.5 was projected to 109 and 3. This is for the pace of the race. And your 6 furlong kept his 110. Now, let's go to the next screen and look at some of those readouts we didn't get a chance to see before. Let's show them don't show them the bar graphs. This is the one that has a malfunction in it. Go to the pace of the race. This is in velocity. You saw this before. This gives you the pace that the horse ran against in feet per second, how it ran against the pace of the race it ran against, and its ratio. And because this horse went wire to wire, he's 100, 100, 100. That's the pace he ran against. Now go to the next one. Okay, let's say you forgot what the first one did or didn't write it down or didn't want to print it out. Hit R. R goes back to the face. You can go forward, backward with the R as much as you want to compare these horses if you don't want to print them out. And this works pretty well. And a lot of times you will see that you put in some ridiculous things where you've got some horse that is nowhere near as good as the other one. But I always put them in so evenly that they look pretty good. Let's compare the 7 furlong horse with AAA. Go to CCC. Okay, you can see that the 7 furlong horse, while he did go wire to wire, was running against considerably slower pace of the race times than the others. And generally speaking, at 7 furlong, you would have a much faster third fraction than that. Whereas they will be slower early, the 7 furlong races going into 6 will have...
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Well, you...
Tough crowd.
You make me feel so humble.
Sit down on the chair.
As long as I can see.
Yeah.
Okay. That's self-explanatory, and that is a heck of a way to learn to handicap for those of you newcomers. Find out what pace the horse ran against as opposed to what the others ran against. He won a slower race. Now, Turn Time Pi, this is in honor of Tom Brohammer for exposing Turn Time to the world. Unfortunately, folks, I have a tendency when making up races to make them very close. You will not find in real life horses that close. The BBB has the best turn time by a slight margin over AAA, but CCC has a very definite, relative to the others, turn time deficiency. Next case. You've got turn time on your program, but a lot of people don't see the number. They say, where was that number? Oh, I didn't notice that. Well, you got a big pie in the face, and it calls your attention to it. Okay, second call pie. Okay, once again, I'm guilty of putting them much too close together when I make up a race, but make up some numbers that are far more deviant than that. You can see that AAA and BBB are just about neck and neck at the second call, and CCC is slightly behind them. Okay, third fraction. This is the fraction that mainstream says doesn't exist. BBB, if BBB is even with AAA and all other aspects of the race, who's going to win this race if it was a match race between the two?
BBB.
Right, because they were very, very even. And CCC, who should, if you've ever looked at 7 and 6, the longer distances, they usually have faster third fractions, does not. So we can throw CCC out. BBB, incidentally, won this race by 3 lengths. Go ahead, Spencer. Now we've already been through the instant pre-play, but let's do it again. There he is. He not only wins, he places. Now let me explain this to you. I have had a lot of people, I said, that is DPH, designated place horse, in my thinking, in many, many readouts supplied to us by the more proficient handicappers among teachers and clients. I should have called it designated in the money horse, because even for people who are less apt, that horse that hits there first, did I burn your thing up? Where's my little red light?
No, don't have to rework it.
Okay. Anyway, the one that hits the second panel first is what we call the designated place horse, unless he also wins the race. Then, of course, your place horse would be the next one closest to it, which is AAA. Now, if you're not getting a lot of places and even a lot of wins from that horse that hits that second panel first, then you're entering some bad contenders. What you want to do is to learn how to make that very proficient for you is when the horse that does hit that panel first does absolutely nothing in the race, shame on you. Scratch it and see who would come in if you got rid of that horse. That horse should be very powerful. That horse meets the criteria of the focus of Tom Brohammer's book, Modern Pace Handicapping, in his discussion of turn time. That is the horse who makes the move on the other horses, and in this case, sustains that move to the end. That combination of that and that is hidden energy. And hidden energy is winning more races now than the statistics provided by Davis and Quirin pertaining to early horses. This horse is hopelessly behind here, does not make a move here, and stays behind here. You can pretty well discount that horse. Next screen. And the same two horses. When you get this situation, folks, they both come in on both screens. That's a spot play. Any questions about the readouts now? Did I take care of your questions? You okay? Good. I satisfied a guy from New York. My God, we did a hell of a job.
Bruno and Guido will be down later.
Huh?
Bruno and Guido will be down later.
Oh, yes. I'm from Brooklyn, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. My designated place horse wins all my races.
Your designated place horse wins all your races. I hope you're playing him to win.
I
he also places when he wins.
I should take that back. My two designated place horses, one that hits the panel and the one...
Well, this is very interesting. Give me a microphone because I want to quiz him on something. What is your track?
Yakima Meadows,
yeah. You know why? Because at Yakima Meadows, the class of that track is such that the horse that makes that move goes on to win because the rest of them give up. If at your track, there's your Brohammer model. Model these three panels. If the horse that hits that panel first wins most of your races, don't be saying, yeah, but he doesn't come out first here, I can't play him. Hey, model it. It's a Brohammer model. 1, 2, 3. Model those three screens. Keep your pictures and look to see which of the panels is producing the winners. Use the whole thing. Yes, sir.
Doc, would you discuss for a minute the use of the counter energy? Discuss for a minute the use of the counter energy horse as your designated place horse?
Surely. We don't have one here because the counter energy horse and the wind horse are the same thing. Let's put in another horse. Let's review here. Okay.
No early horse.
No, I'm going to put in 23, 46, 59, 110, and 1.
Wow.
5, 4, 2, 0.5. Now I'll go through everything as if it were really... Keep it on the one for one. I hit the instant replay. All things being equal, the first screen says... Now hit the next screen. This would be telling us that the horse most likely to place in this race is BBB. The first screen said that last horse I put in would win. Under both circumstances, if there were some real horses in here, it would be the opposite, that the winner on the wind energy screen would be BBB and the other would be counter energy. But you get the point. The horse that is best on the other screen is your counter energy horse. But by the same token, the counter energy horse is usually the horse that hits the second paddle first, except at tracks like Yakima, where that horse just takes over and wins the race. The counter energy horse is the horse that does not do much on your wind energy screen, and you determine what's wind energy at your track by doing a few races, but he comes up very well on the counter screen, on the opposite screen. So your wind energy horse in this case would be BBB, and your counter energy horse would be the horse who now takes over, incidentally, the second panel, your counter energy horse, and he gets it. Over here. This gentleman over here with the graying hair, he's going to do a television series. He's going to star in a television series, however. That's Peter. You can call him by his first name. When you see him on TV, he says, I know old Pete. Pete Tolan.
My question is on my synergetic matchup program. Sometimes I'll hit 7 for pre-play and nothing will come out.
That's because pre-play is not on 7, it's on 6.
Okay, well, whatever my number is, I get it, nothing comes out. I think it is 7 on my program. So.
Oh, well, you got your new version. Are you getting the new version?
Yeah, I'll send
it. Okay, it'll be all right.
But until I get it.
But how long have you had it?
A couple of months.
Oh, you should have told us the first day, and we would have corrected it immediately.
It only does it sometimes.
Oh, you mean it only gets 6 horses?
No, what I'm saying...
It doesn't come up. This says his doesn't come up at all.
Sometimes.
You have more than 6 horses, yeah. It doesn't come up.
When you have more than 6 horses, 6 of them will come up.
I thought it was 5.
Jimmy, get up here. This guy says that they don't come up on his screen. That's impossible.
Yeah, what I'm saying is they don't come up all the time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 1 out of like 15 times it won't come up.
When you press the instant pre-play screen, this gentleman says 1 out of 15 times he gets nothing on the screen. This gentleman says if he puts in more than 6 horses, he gets nothing.
If you put in over 6,
you
they
get
won't
six.
Come up.
It won't come up at all?
If you put in over 6.
Oh,
you've got to have it. Now, the new ones, yes.
Yeah.
If they won't be 12 horses. But if you put in over 6, it won't come up.
I guess I had to put in over 6. I thought I was...
You probably have the new version.
Yeah, and Thoroughmission does the other way. Well, that's the secret of that is, with the old program, don't put in more than 6.
Thoroughmission will show 6.
Uh-huh. It'll show the first 6.
If you've got 8 in, Thoroughmission will show 6. The matchup won't.
Shows how much I know. I never put in more than 6 horses in Thoroughmission.
Explained that if you scratch 1 or 2, then the 7 will move up and then the 8 will.
Yeah.
Scratch
with
Thermation.
On Thermation,
yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, put entropy in, Spencer. Let's transfer this to entropy and proceed. It is. Okay, let's hit the next screen. Okay. Entropy. Those definitely. Now, here's the beauty of entropy. We're going to do this both ways, and I want you to note who the top 3 horses are. I'm going to put in 4, I guess. But note how little difference there is when using the 1 adjustment and the 2 adjustment when you go into entropy. First, we'll use the 1 adjustment.
Why is that?
That's because of the genius of Bradshaw and Sarton and Brohammer and others who contributed to making this program. We're thinking of you. We know that you have difficulty in deciding which adjustment to use, so we developed a program which produces irrespective of adjustment. That's because we're using deceleration. And in deceleration, horses decelerate more to their form then they accelerate. The vast changes are in how fast they run. He might run 110 this week and 109 next week and 112 the next week. But his deceleration ratio will be fairly stable. So when you mix the two together, the adjustment is not as meaningful. It has some meaning, but it's not as meaningful, as we'll see in a minute, I hope. Go next screen. Just use the 1 first. Now all these are fine if you live in a place where there are long winters and a lot of snowy days when you want to do what Bruce and Sam Wada did in testing this program. They didn't mention their names as being supremely responsible for the production of this, but their testing of all these numbers demonstrated that you can model. For instance, par median is a good one. If you move over a little bit to the far right, you'll see dream race total energy, which is a kind of a speed rating in minute percentile relationships. All these are the percentile relationships of various components to the dream race.
You use the highest number there in the dream race.
Well, the highest number is the fastest horse. He is the closest to the dream race. He is 98.78%, or 68.78, no, he was 90-something, but you keep moving. 98.whatever% of his total energy of the dream race total energy. So,
no.
I say, Spencer? I mean, Bruce?
The answer to this question is no. You don't use the biggest.
You don't just take that horse and bet it, no. Definitely no. These are things that, for instance, if you were a part-time devotee and you wanted to use these kind of bars, which are deceleration bars instead, you would model them. I've never done it. Because I just go to the final screen. Now, go to the next screen. These give you some other deceleration par factors. You might find, for instance, in your track, that TDV, the high TDV, was that means the horse has the least deceleration from the beginning of the race to the end of the race. You might find that that's very, very important at Yakubov, for instance. That the horse that decelerates the least between the first fraction and the third might be. This is something you have to model. These numbers mean nothing by themselves, and they're only good for people who like to model things. Go to the next screen. This is very important for one reason. If you see a horse who is very low here, and the lowest, I guess, would be this horse right here, look at CCC on the next screen and see what happens. This is the only importance of these two screens. CCC, if CCC, who's your lowest velocity horse, had huge deceleration numbers, they would be the result of the fact that he didn't go very fast, so therefore he didn't decelerate very much. But there's no disparity here. These horses all have a good balance, so you don't throw anybody out on that.
We
can't go back to screen. What do you want to know?
No.
That's all right. We're your servant. Just tell us what you want to know.
Here's the mark.
But mark what you want to know, so when we do go back to it...
You misread that last week. I can tell you what you're talking about.
You got a photograph in there?
No, I was looking and watching you went to the bottom.
Okay, we'll go back to it. Now, these are your deceleration bars. Now, up here is the pace of the race derived from the various horses in the race.
Or is that the dream race? Okay, the same thing.
Relative to the same thing. You wonder why are these numbers greater? That's because these are compounded. They're not a single factor. These are all compounded. So this horse, they're in pretty good balance, so you don't have to worry about this. If you want to worry about this, I would tell you, but I know nobody's going to worry about it. I know nobody is going to go through all these readouts and use them all. They're just there. The next screen is the screen that you want to be concerned with. Okay. Not the next one. This is the composite, and from this composite comes the following sort. Okay. It's telling you that, remember that CCC that I was talking about? That had the worst, was the slowest horse in the race. Had CCC had tremendously high deceleration numbers, CCC would have been a false horse. But because we put in balanced time, CCC is out of this race. These three horses have a chance. This horse that looks the best will probably place if he doesn't win. The top three in this, know who the top three are. They are DDD, B, and A. Now let's go and try it with the two adjustments and see what happens. Is this, as we, these are on your new EXDC deceleration ratio. This is comparable to the SPN, the starting pace number. These are the same numbers. CCC, as you noticed, and here, if you didn't believe it before, his probability of winning this race is 0.0426%. And BBB is pretty much an AAA. If you couldn't pick them before, this will sure help you. This thing is, Tom Ainsley is so impressed with this, he's just ecstatic. He calls Jimmy every week. Can you imagine the great old erudite, highly literate dean of handicapping authors? He and Jimmy get on the phone every week, talk to Leroy. It's howdy. We're teaching Tom Ainsley, say howdy, y'all, everything.
He's getting ready to write a book.
You'll get to meet him in New Orleans. He's writing an article, and he's going to talk about the difference between mainstream handicapping and certain methodology, and the transition that he's made from being the dean of handicapping authors, and a beautiful, wonderful man. 76 years old, and still has his martini before every meal, or every dinner, at least. Wish I could do that.
George Burns.
Huh?
George Burns does too.
Yeah, old George Burns. I wish we'd get him. So, and now go back and then let this gentleman see the screen he wanted to see. And there's some goodies on this. Here's some real goodies here. Take a look at the valence bracket. Hit six. Hey. The top two horses, DDD, BBB, on the sustained pace factor, and CCC is last year. Now hit the countervalence. Contragraph. DDD, BBB, AAA. So you're talking about counter energy. How do you tell which is counter energy? Well, this is decidedly built for that purpose and singularly. Somebody take the gentleman a microphone and make it. And don't get up from your chair when you do it, Spencer. I got comfortable.
just a question, Doc. Is that the old Cajun? Is that Cajun?
That is Cajun based on entropy. That is an entropy Cajun. It's new improved Cajun. Deluxe, new improved, makes your clothes whiter and brighter. Your handicapping. And if you can't win, all these buttons you can push will keep you occupied. Go back, let's see what else on the screen. Look at the composite rating. See, the reason we have so many screens, and I say if they don't mean anything to you, you don't use them. The problem with any single number handicapping mechanism, even with our phase one, known by 14 different names around the country, even phase one was very difficult to put a lot of money into a race because you didn't have any verifying screens. You had one number. Now people say, just give me one number. Well, if you don't have anything to verify that number, how many of you have bet more than $100 on a single number? Well, you would. You're rich. He's going to Australia during our seminar in New Orleans.
I have done that.
You have?
I have.
When you were young and foolish. I won't bet more than $20 on a single number. I got to have some verification. If you don't need verification, then pick the one that you think is the best and use it. But you get a lot of verification. You don't have to use all these screens. Hit the next one. But boy, I'd like to see at least three things tell me the same thing. Now, these are strictly deceleration pie charts. Go through them quickly. That is the early pace deceleration velocity ratio. That's your hidden energy velocity ratio. And you see that 90 over there, that's the one that you don't want. There's your hidden factor. This is hidden factor. Now, we've got new hidden factors. Hidden factor one is the old hidden energy. Hidden energy one. Now you get your phase one on here, too. Hit five. Okay, the CPR numbers say that BBB is number one. That's another verification. Now, the thing I like about this is that you get a differential here. If you want to model this, if you find that most of your horses are coming from pluses, your winners are coming from pluses, and your pace horses are coming from minuses, and you know just about how much plus the winners should have, this gives you a real down and dirty way of modeling. Next screen. Well, we've gone through them all now. So the new entropy has all this on it. Now let's go to selector two. Jimmy, you want to jump in on this? You know, you're the man who spent hours and hours doing all this stuff.
You're doing a good job, Harry.
Thank you, Jimmy. We had a lot of fun down in Oklahoma. I said over his shoulder, says, can't do that, Harry. You know, you've heard this story. It's a true story. Can't do that, Harry.
Sure, I'm going to take a nap.
I go in the room and be lying down, and she walks in and says, Harry, wake up. I've done it. I did it. Now, don't think that he talks that way in real life. Leroy, his wife, says, you wake him up at 2 in the morning, he talks just like everybody else.
I can't even think of 2.
Leroy, why he's doing that? Will you come up here a minute, Leroy? I want you to tell us, folks. Just take your time entering it. I want you to, you all think that Jimmy's walks on water and he's not like other mortals.
She knows where ugly is.
Come here and tell him what you told me at dinner. Now tell that little story on him about about trying to get rid of you.
Oh, okay. When I first started going to the races with Jim, he only pays win one horse. Well, if he misses a race, there's going to be another one comes up in just a minute, for 25 minutes. I only play place and show because I needed that cashing that ticket each time. I said, Jim, who am I going to play this time? Leroy, play this horse to place. At the end of the race, I sit there and I would have a ticket to cash. And Jim would go cash a ticket. Wait a minute, what's going on here? This went on about 3 times. And I said, you know, trying to figure it out by myself, I said, he's just not wanting me to go to the races with him. He's cashing tickets. I'm not cashing any tickets. So I said, Jim, I want to talk to you. I want to know why. You go to the window, you buy a ticket, you cash it. I'm sitting here and mine are no good. What's happening? Why, Leroy, you didn't tell me you wanted a place for me. I can't pick a place for you. I said, Jimmy, don't pick me a place for me. Tell me who's going to win. I'll decide if I want to win, place, or show. So that's, he really doesn't pick the place for me. I told him the other day, he called me a smart aleck. I said, Jimmy, if you just keep telling me those winners, honey, I'll get that place for you. She said, how are you going to do it? I said, I'll be that sucker.
And she did.
I got the place.
We're going to buy a place over here, and we're going to have a special thing. We're coming first and third. We're going to call it a hat zacta. It's going to pay off. Because I go to the races with him and he piles tickets up that high with they come in first and third. You can have a clear picture of the race and his horse will be running one too. And at the end, some horse that came out of nowhere will stick his nose in there. So, but he gives good grass. If he just look at his own damn grass, he has to place horse every time. It's kind of a pride of honor. It's the Alamo mentality, you know, folks. If those stupid guys had gone out of that Alamo and just retreated a little bit, they wouldn't all have been dead, because they played to win. They should have found a place for us there at the Alamo. But we wouldn't have Alamo mentalities without that. And like Jimmy says, instead of betting exactus, he bets win parlays and cleans up on them on these low-priced horses. And you can do that in Vegas. He can take 5 straight horses paying between $4 and $6 and parlay them, win all 5 of them, and he gets about 15-20 to 1 at the end of the race instead of 2 to 1. So there are a lot of other ways to skin the cat besides getting the place horse. Besides, Jimmy doesn't want to upstate me because I can get the place horse. That's very sweet of you, Jimmy. Okay, this is Selector 2. Now, we don't suggest that everybody run out and buy Selector 2. But we do suggest...